The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Everybody, Alan Ellis here, and joining us this morning is our buddy Keith Lockwood from the Maryland Fisheries Service. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good morning, Alan.
You been out?
Have I been out? Fishing, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have, actually. I've been fortunate enough to, fortunate and unfortunate. As we all know, you have to fish for these spawning runs, such as the yellow perch. You have to fish on the fish's schedule, not your own.
Correct.
And unfortunately, I couldn't sneak away from work to hit them when they were up. I fish on the Chop Tank and the Tuckahoe Rivers.
Right.
And but last weekend, I was fortunate enough to catch them on the way back down.
Ah.
And I caught some really nice post-spawn yellow perch. There's been a big influx of 11 to 12 and a half inch yellow perch into the fishery due to a dominant year class. So they're nice fillet and sized fish.
Oh, yeah, no question. No question.
A marvelous lunch.
How do you fix them?
I usually I fillet them, I skin them.
Yep.
And then I do a light egg batter, and then I do panko crumbs. And
I like panko.
Yeah, I do too. I've been a real convert to panko crumbs versus, you know, regular bread crumbs.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. And I'll tell you, I like them baked. If you ever bake them?
I'll tell you something. In the recent years, I really haven't had enough yellow perch to experiment a whole lot with them, and I sure know I like them fried. That's usually the direction I head.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, well.
Interesting note was that I was going to go fishing for catfish,
yeah.
And I was trying to catch a couple of buck white perch for bait, and I started catching yellow perch, and
yeah,
it was a real pleasant surprise. The white perch really haven't gotten up into the upper parts of the rivers yet.
Well, Dale and I each caught one, and they would have been perfect bait.
Yeah.
Because they're about 4 inches long.
Yeah. Well, you know, the little guys, they're the vanguard of the movement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like all young males, they're a little impatient.
Yeah, well.
They're going to get up there as soon as they can.
Good point, yeah. When are the girls going to show up, huh? Oh,
well,
man.
I've heard from the fike netters that, you know, they're getting them in the mid-range sections of the rivers.
Yeah.
It's just, we're behind. You know, the water temperature.
Oh, water. No, it was 41 degrees the other day, and it's probably not going to be any warmer out there today. Did I just hear the snow word in the forecast? Good grief.
Yeah. You know, we thought last spring was crazy. This one's even crazier.
No question about that. That's for sure.
You know, the striped bass are up here, and they're just hanging low. They're waiting.
Yeah.
You know, we've probably got, I think we're in the low 50s right now.
You know, I honestly haven't paid much attention to this. Did they actually open that catch and release season on the flats this year?
Yeah, that'll be open.
That's open? Okay. Yeah, I don't like that season, but that's a personal opinion. So,
we're always trying to please everybody, and the guys up there, they do enjoy it.
Oh, sure,
they do enjoy it up there. A lot of guys come down from Pennsylvania, and it's close enough for them to, you know,
true,
see one of those nice fish.
Indeed. Well, today's the opening day of trout season, so What do you got for the anglers out there that are freezing their fingers off trying to put on a little ball of power bait on their hook? Just, I mean, come on, my fingers, I can't even move. I'm supposed to put this, mold this power bait into a ball the size of a pea to, or a soybean to put on the hook to throw out there for a trout.
Yeah. I stepped out on the porch about 20 minutes ago, and it really, it was just a flood of memories, the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I was a little kid. And,
oh, man.
You know, getting your kid's sneakers wet in the first 5 minutes you were there, and.
It didn't take me five.
Obviously, things have changed. You know, we had the belt with the, you had to have the container for your worms and salmon eggs, you know, and now, to tell you the truth, all you need is a jar of power bait.
I mean, we had, look, you had the little green can with the flip lid and the holes in it, the curved can, and you hooked it on your belt, okay? And you always had your red worms or your dug worms, and in Pennsylvania, along the banks of Juniata River, the enterprising bait dealers would go out and dig in the soft soil, and they would get, and I don't know what kind of worm it was. They always called them blackheads that lived along in the sandy soil along the river, and that was the bait. The red worms were they were okay, but you get those blackheads, they were the primo. So that's what you used. And you usually had a jar of oily Mike salmon eggs in your tackle box, probably cheese flavored at that time. Okay, and so invariably you'd spill those. You get your worm can there, and it was you had bus bedding that you put your worms in, and then the master supply of worms and night crawlers was the square cardboard. Kind of a fiberboard box with the green frame on it, made by Bait Canteen. Am I bringing back some memories, brother?
I never had one, but I, you know.
Oh, my dad was a master at bus bedding. He'd take a big bag of bus bedding, and he'd soak it, and he'd squeeze it out. He made sure it was exactly the right moisture. Bus bedding was nothing more than basically pressed cardboard or, you know, ground up cardboard.
It was some kind of weird stuff.
Yeah, it was very weird, but you had to wet it, you know, and he'd put that in that bait canteen and make sure those worms were in the cooler somewhere. Oh man, I'll tell you, he was keeping the worms alive for a long, long time. So, but
I'm sure they're out in force, you know.
Oh yeah,
and it started 45 minutes ago. If you want to fish in the dark,
yeah. Exactly, exactly. Well, you know what?
They should have a great day. I'm telling you, the stocking crews this year, which is made up of the biologists and the drivers.
Oh yeah.
They earned their cookies this year.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, they were cutting holes in lakes with chainsaws, pouring the trout through the holes. They had to shovel snow to get close to the stream because, of course, the snow plows pushed the snow up all along the banks. But they got her done.
Yep.
They got them done. And, I tell you, Marshall Brown who's basically, he's in charge of all the cold, they call it cold water production,
mm-hmm.
of raising all the trout. He's really done a marvelous job. He's instituted some innovative techniques, and I'll tell you what, I've heard from different sources out of state, we are really the envy of some of the other states. We've got some beautiful trout, and of course we're stocking the 2 and up to 7 year old trout, and they're at every location. And
sure,
obviously, if somebody towns into a 10 pound rainbow trout, they're going to really have their hands full. It's a fish of a lifetime.
Sure. We had Susan Rivers on a couple weeks ago, and. She did a great job on covering the whole trout stocking program and the all female eggs and some of the issues about the stocking, trying to get to the stream and that type of thing. And those folks are dedicated, very dedicated, no question about that.
They are. They just about all of us have a passion for this. And
sure.
You know, they They did a stellar job this year. And
no question.
I'm sure everybody's going to be out there enjoying themselves today. I know there's going to be some cold fingers and cold toes. That's opening day of trout season. That's what it's.
What it's all about. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, Maryland has some places where you're shoulder to shoulder, not like Pennsylvania used to be. But, man, I'll tell you what, man, and you're fighting for I tell this story quite often. I was at Spring Creek in Pennsylvania, and a guy came wading down the middle of the stream, and he yells at this one guy who's, you know, four or five guys over from me. He looks at him. He goes, "Ain't biting." The guy goes, "No." He says, "No." Nope. He says, "No, nah, can't get a bite." He says, "Why not?" He goes, "You're standing on my bait." I guess it was a nice way to make a point, you know. The guy got waded right down through the middle of everybody fishing. It was pretty funny. So, yeah.
Yeah, just all kinds.
But competition for those fish was, I mean, wow. You just don't want to get in anybody's way, that's for sure.
Well, it'll thin out now. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
You know, the crews will be stocking into May, depending on what type of water is. The more appropriate trout waters, we'll be getting trout until the second week of May.
Sure.
And things will thin out.
Oh, yeah.
People can get a little more elbow room. And,
yeah. I fished where presidents fished when I was a kid. It was nothing to go to Spruce Creek, you know, until Jimmy Carter showed up there one day, and then it became some big deal. But we used to fish Spruce Creek all the time.
The president's trout.
Oh, yeah, the president's trout. And my dad loved, like the aforementioned night crawlers, he'd sit in one hole all day long, catch brown trout and rainbow trout and golden trout and whatever he could catch up there. He just had a great time. So God bless him. So I miss those days, man, I do. But let's talk about this aforementioned perch run when we come back from our first break. Will that be all right with you?
Sounds good.
All right. Need to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop and their fishing sale. We're ready to rock sale. That's what we're going to call it. That's for sure. It started yesterday, March 27th, runs through the 5th. That's Easter Sunday, next Sunday. Everything is on sale. All rockfish, trolling baits, and lures are on sale. Take those empty reel spools, just strip that old nasty, gnarly, coily line off your spools. Take those bare spools in there, and Clyde's will fill them up with new premium monofilament line for half price. Starts at just 1 cent a yard. Take your empty spools, and they'll fill them up. Now, doesn't include Power Pro. That's a little different deal there. But look, for trolling, they got the pen reels. They got the GTI 330s for $89.95. The trolling combos, they got a pen reel, pen 309, and a Shakespeare 6-foot rod with a roller tip and line for $89.95. If you want to go that route, that's kind of the low end. But then, for a little more money, they have got the Primo trolling rod, the most popular trolling combo probably on Chesapeake Bay. And that's a pen 330, an Andy 6-foot rod, 20 to 50 pound test rod and line for just $139.95. Now I'll tell you, you check out that trolling package and you are going to fall in love with it. Shakespeare rods and reels are on sale. Fluger rods and reels are on sale. Ugly stick rods are on sale. And don't forget to check out the selection of St. Croix rods. No question about it. Clyde Sports Shop has everything for fishing. Live bait, licenses, rod and reel repairs. You name it. They've got it. Everything for rockfish. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway. Exit number 9. Give them a call. 410-242-6108. 242-6108. And look, if you want that up-to-date fishing hotline, pretty simple. Call them up. 410-247-3474. Nobody's going to answer, but you're going to hear that up-to-date fishing report. 410-247-FISH. For Clyde's Sports Shop. Now let me tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Maryland's Eastern Shore. Oh, they've got all the perch stuff. They've got the live bait. I was in there the other day. I got some grass shrimp and some bull minnows and some night crawlers. And night crawlers was the ticket for the day. And we did okay. The first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. And why is it the first choice? Because it's the first place you come to. Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road. You just get off on that exit and go around the corner there, go around the Exxon, and you will be right in their parking lot. Everything for fishing. All the mojos, all the bucktails, all the parachutes, all the umbrella rigs, rods, reels, tackle, line, you name it, they've got it. Don't forget, spring gobbler season's right around the corner, too. They've got the Zinc Avian X decoys, the guns, the shotguns, the ammo, the calls, the decoys, the camo, and your full-line archery dealer, too, Matthews and Mission. But also the newest addition is the Hoyt bows, Hoyt. Yes, that's the newest addition. They have a full selection of Hoyt bows for you to choose from. And don't forget the Bubba Blade knives. That's what Keith Lockwood likes to fillet his fish. Route 58 East, exit 39B. It's Chesapeake Outdoors on Kent Island. 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Liner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
Hey, here's a friendly reminder. The Maryland oyster season ends the last day of March, unless they extend it. And I don't know if Keith knows if they extended it or not. But anyway, NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road, beside Jim Donnie RV there in Glen Burnie on Dorsey Road, is stocked with fresh-caught Pocomoke Sound oysters. Come get them now before they're gone for the season. And don't forget, oh, I love their oysters. I had a pint of select oysters the other day. I battered them and deep-fried them. Oh, boy, were they good. Anyway, they're now stocked with live, wild-caught Louisiana crawfish. They've got andouille sausage to go with it if you want to make some gumbo. They got gator sausage, too, gator tail meat, along with live Louisiana crabs.
Jordan, Elizabeth!
Yeah, that's right. I did say gator tail meat, I did say gator sausage, and I did say live Louisiana crabs and crawdads, crawfish, crayfish, whatever you want to call them, crawdaddies. I don't care. They got them. Stop by and see them, or call them 410-271-3202, 271-3202. Monday and Friday are their hours, 2 to 6, and then, of course, Saturday and Sunday from noon to 6. They're open 4 days a week. Monday, 2 to 6, Friday, 2 to 6, Sunday and Saturday, noon to 6. That's NBS Seafood in Glen Burnie. Stands for No Bull Stuff. That's what it stands for. Yeah, it does.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Crab cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that roots our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his voice, the way he makes his living.
talking about the man. Talking about the waterman. I'm talking about the man, trout line and crabs.
Man, trout line and crab, the waterman. That's Bird Dog Wheeler. No. Yeah, and the Road Kings. That's who it is, right? Hey, Keith, you ever hear those guys in concert?
Oh, many times.
There you go.
They're a hoot.
They are. They're funny.
Another good song, too, about Eastern Shoreman.
Oh, we got the, yeah, Redneck. Eastern Shore Redneck. Yeah, we got that. Yeah, good guys. Yeah. All right. So we talk about the perch a little bit. The yellow perch are here and done, pretty much. Is there any place you can catch a good-sized yellow perch now? On the rivers, on the spawning run. I know freshwater. We've got Deep Creek and some other good places, but
I would target below the spawning areas. I heard from the Eastern Shore freshwater biologist Brett Coakley. He was up the Upper Chester last Sunday, and he really got into them. So they're still spawning to some degree, and. Certainly, the post-spawn yellow perch can be targeted, in the upper parts of the rivers. Not necessarily the spawning reaches, but, a little farther down.
Right.
And, the minnows will always get you the larger yellow perch.
Right.
And you can either, fish that. I always like to put, a split shot about 2.5 feet in front of it, and hook them through the lips and just work them real slow along the bottom.
Exactly right.
But good old shad dart with a small minnow will do it too, and you can cover you can cover a lot more territory.
Now that Dale the other day, your old compatriot Dale was fishing with I used just a plain hook with a minnow or a night crawler and got quite a few bites. Dale was using the if I recall a chartreuse and fluorescent orange dart. And just hooking a night crawler or a minnow on it. And he was doing right well with that. I know that the perch are attracted to those bright colors like a walleye is. The fluorescent yellows, greens, oranges. I guess it's a little different eye structure than other fish.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
There's something about a shad dart, the way it moves, that just drives them crazy.
I guess.
I mean, it's so funny. We use shad darts for everything.
Yeah. Anything like that. So, okay, so when do you think the white perch are really, the males are just starting to show up. You think this coming week if the water warms up or what?
Yeah, I heard that there's a prediction for some warm weather this week. And what we really need is some sunny days. If we get some sun penetration into the water, that's going to bring the water temperatures up. Because I think right now we're in the low 50s. In the main parts of the river, and I'm talking the freshwater sections here, not certainly down towards the mouth of the rivers, but where the perch are, it's in the low 50s, and it's got to come up about another 5 degrees. But they're moving. They're coming up the rivers, and I would suspect by next weekend, if we get some, unless old man Winter decides to give us another shot.
Yeah, really, thanks. We're looking at 50. I'm looking at the Centerville weather right now. We're looking at 57 for a high on Monday, 54 for a high on Tuesday, 57 on Wednesday. So those warmer days will help with water temperature and might promote that perch spawn.
Your listeners should understand that the vanguard's going to be the small little guys.
Yep.
And you get a lot of action, but for instance, if you're fishing with grass shrimp, you can watch your grass shrimp supply disappear pretty quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Is that what you like for the white perch, Keith? The grass shrimp.
I'll be honest with you, it's too much trouble for me. What I like to do, because you can go through so much bait so fast, and what I like to do is take a shad dart, a small shad dart. It depends on obviously what kind of tackle, what kind of fishing rod you use.
Sure.
And I like to find where there's some deep water, and I'll put just like the last third of a minnow on there, just the tail, and I'll hook that through the shad dart, and I'll cast upstream, and then, once it hits the bottom, tighten the line and walk the dog, and it'll only go 20 degrees of arc, and bang, you got one.
Wow, okay.
And you'll go, in the beginning of the run, you'll go through a lot of perch.
Sure.
You might, depending upon the size of your fillet knife in your eyes, you could go through 30 fish before you keep one.
Yeah, Yep, exactly. Well, I know our buddy Jim down there at Clyde Sports Shop. He's got the white perch technique perfected. So anybody wants to call Clyde's and ask for Jim and talk to him about his tips for white perch, he's got the whole routine down with the little jig head and putting the twister on it, and I mean everything. So, you know. White perch aren't that sophisticated. You know, we're not talking about a really, really picky or smart fish here. We're talking about white perch, pretty much.
Yeah, I was actually up in the Baltimore Harbor area a week ago, and I was in a couple of shops just chatting with the owners, and there were guys coming in buying worms and minnows, and they said they were getting into white perch.
Good. Glad to hear.
They might be fishing in the harbor area where they're holding, before they start moving up the rivers.
Got it. Well,
they were buying bait. They were getting into them, they said.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of the other spawning runs. The hickory shad, crappie fishing, some catfish. We'll stay on the tidal rivers for a little bit, but then I'm going to hit you with the trophy striped bass season. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right. Let's talk about that.
You know, when the guys are fishing for white perch, if they're using a shad dart or, some kind of little jig, they're probably going to get into some hickory shad, and they'll probably get into some alewife herring. And as you probably know, they're little acrobatic artists, and they're fun.
There's no question. I'll tell you something. A 12, 14-inch hickory shad, I mean, that'll give you a little bit of a battle.
They sure do.
You know, that's a lot of fun on light tackle.
And, we have good runs of hickory shad now in the Chop Tank and the Tuckahoe and the Chester. The Patuxent, and of course the Potomac,
right?
And of course Deer Creek everybody knows
absolutely.
Deer Creek and Octorero Creek. Those are great runs up there, and when the hickory shad is on, for instance, at Deer Creek, it's like opening day of trout season.
Oh, absolutely!
It's elbow to elbow.
Absolutely, I know it. And again, I mentioned Uncle Dale. He's the one that introduced me to that fly fishing fishery up there on Deer Creek with the fly rod and the little shad flies, if you want to use them, or whatever you want to use. I mean, I've used crystal buggers and everything else up there, and it doesn't seem to matter. They just hit it as long as it's out there and moving and in their line of sight, you know.
It is a wonderful fish for budding fly fishermen.
You catch 20, 30, 40 fish a day, and I mean, you just press the barb down on your fly and release them real quick and let them go. I mean, it's always good.
And you get out there and you get some room so you can cast.
Yep.
You know, and instead of just doing roll casts all the time.
Right.
And, it's fun. You can put a little action in your fly rod, you know. It definitely, they're fun to catch on a fly rod.
They are, no question about that.
Definitely.
Yeah. And, of course, any of the hickory shad and the herring have to go back. Any shad, any herring has to go back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And the restoration group, they're working hard to move them. You know, they collect, up by the Susquehanna, they collect the eggs and they take them down to the Manning Hatchery, which is near Waldorf.
Yep, been there.
And then they'll transport those fry to different rivers.
Yep.
And they're trying to get them in, at all the suitable rivers.
Yep. And I'll tell you, I watched that process where they do the marking of the 1, 2, and 3 day old
tetracycline.
I mean, it's unbelievable. To watch that and then look through the microscope and see how that all works. I mean, these fish are marked with this dye. What'd you call it?
It's a tetracycline.
Yeah, but it's a green dye.
It's a derivative of that.
Yeah, they'll put these fish in there at, let's say, 2 days old. They'll put all the, I mean, you know, you got a five, you get a 5 pound, you got a 5 pound or 10 pound, spice container, and you got, a thousand little tiny fish in there and in this green dye. And they leave them in there for a day or a couple hours. They take them out and they put them back in wherever they hold them. Then that's like, let's say, day two. And then on the fourth day of life, they put them back in there, leave them for a while. And on the fifth day of life, they put them back in there and leave them for a little while. And every time they put them in there, that dye goes through their system and it dyes the cartilage in their ear bone, the otolith.
Otolith, yeah.
Yep. And when they recapture those fish on some of the electrofishing surveys and things like that, they will take those fish, they'll you know, they'll sacrifice the fish. They'll take the ear bone. They'll take a slice of it and look at it in the microscope, and they'll go, oh, well, this fish is a 137 code on the otolith, you know, the code, the dye code, or this is that 2-4, you know, 2-4-5 fish or whatever it might be, and they'll be able to tell when that fish was spawned, how old it is, and everything else. I mean, it's an incredible process. It really is. So really, really, really science-based fisheries management that we have here in Maryland, and, you know, every opportunity for the recreational guy that they can do. A lot of heavy-duty lab work and field work gets done. So, all right.
Yeah, they really have a passion for it.
They do.
It's funny. I'll tell you a little funny story. They've discovered natural Atlantic sturgeon in the Marshy Hope.
Right.
And, you know, they've been working so hard on that program for so many years. And they were like little kids. They were so excited. It was like, it didn't just make their day. It made their career.
Really?
To see those fish. And, you know, it was really cute.
It's amazing to me. They have those sturgeon, I don't know, half a dozen of them or more down in that hatchery. These fish are 6, 7, 8 feet long. And they're like, what do you do with these? Well, we're waiting until they get mature so we can spawn them. I said, well, how old do they have to be? 15. I'm like, oh, holy moly. That's a long-range project for sure. So
sure
that's
is.
Pretty cool, you know. So, all right, Keith, hang in there a minute. We're going to talk about a couple things here.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the striped bass season, so we will. But it's time for me to tell the folks about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, it's a free year-round tournament. A free tournament, that's right, no entry fee other than your license, hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for every recreational angler in Maryland. The eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the clear freshwater of Deep Creek Lake, including more than 65 species in 5 different categories. There's the freshwater, the Chesapeake Bay or tidal, the Atlantic coast, the catch and release, and there's even an invasive species category this year. The youth division also is connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. Now, if you catch a fish of notable specified size, you'll receive your official angler award certificate. For striped bass, it's 40 inches, for example, and an invitation to the grand finale event in September. By the way, on 40-inch striped bass, got some stuff in the works I can't tell you about right now, but hopefully we will here in the next week or so. Anyway, the grand finale event in September, you'll get the invitation when you get your angler award, when you could win a Tracker Marine Boat package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa, you know, the sunglass people, gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop, and even Bill's Outdoor Center, and much, much more. Now, trout season is here. Perch run is on. Rockfish season is just around the corner. From the headboats to the Atlantic to the headwaters of a clear mountain stream, it's time. It's fishing time. Go fish. The official rules for the Maryland Fishing Challenge are online at dnr2.maryland.gov/fisheries. Get out there.
There may be a few flurries early on this Saturday, otherwise mostly cloudy, windy, and cold this afternoon with a high around 39 degrees. That's running about 20 degrees above average as winds out of the northwest continue to pull in some cold air. Tonight there will be breaks in the clouds and the overnight low will dip to 22. Then temperatures will start to rebound. Tomorrow will be a sunny day with a high near 48 degrees. Continuing into Monday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s, and then we should reach a high temperature in the 60s by the time we head into Tuesday. I'm Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
I'm supposed to do something here? Oh. Well, I'll remind the folks of our upcoming Supporting Our Wounded Veterans Bull Roast Banquet, and that's Sunday, April 26th, to support our wounded veterans through No Person Left Behind, a division of Operation Second Chance, NPLB. It's noon to 6. It's a fundraiser. And then it's followed by a live concert at Timonium Fairgrounds, 2200 York Road in the 4-H Hall. $35 per ticket. Singles are $55 per couple. Kids under 10 are free. It's a bull roast, a live auction, a cash bar. And then after that, a Fleetwood Mac tribute band is going to play. If you'd like to just go to the tribute band concert, you can do that at 6 o'clock and just pay $10 to get in if you want. But I'd do the bull roast and honor our wounded vets. We have an offer on the table from our listener, Fran. If you are a vet of any war and would like to go to this event, support fellow vets. If you've been wounded in action, if you got a Purple Heart, that would even be more special. But you can go to this bull roast on Sunday, April 26, 2015, and we'll pay for your ticket. So just give us a call here at 410-WCBM-680 if you'd like to go, and we'll get a couple tickets out to you. NPLB. For more information, give Mark Hoke a call, 301-674-4234, or Susan Peacock, 301-775-7738. And if you didn't get those numbers, just call our switchboard here, 410-922-6680, or send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. We'll get you hooked up. NPLB, Bull Roast Banquet, April 26th.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
Dragging the Line, Tommy James and the Shondells. That's our signature song for the Rockfish Trophy season there, Keith. Hello, Keith.
Hello, you're breaking up.
I'm sorry, I said that's our signature song for the Maryland Trophy Rockfish season, Dragging the Line.
Dragging the Line.
Tommy James and the Shondells, yes. Most exciting type of fishing on Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah, it is. It brings a lot of people into the state.
It does that. That's
how many?
Sure.
When we do the Maryland Fishing Challenge, how many people come up from Virginia and Pennsylvania?
Oh my gosh! I know. I can't remember 400 and some entries or something like that on striped bass last year.
Yeah,
it was amazing. Yeah, 40 inches and bigger. All right, so let's talk about the changes to the season this year. Season date stays the same. It's still April 18th, right?
Correct, yeah.
All right.
The only thing is we still have the 28-inch minimum.
Right.
But we've got a slot size from 36 to 40 that unfortunately is going to be off limits, that the fishermen will have to release the fish.
So, what you're saying is, if I catch a fish that's 36 and a half inches long, it goes back.
Correct.
But if it's 40 inches long, I can keep it if I want to. Not that
correct.
I would want to, but okay. So the slot for keeping a fish is between 28 and 36 inches.
That's correct. And then over,
and then
40.
Over 40. So 36 to 40, it goes back. Now, tell me if I'm wrong on this. That is basically to protect a certain year class or several year classes of fish.
That's correct. Unfortunately, striped bass don't stay in one state, so they're governed by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Council. And what they're trying to do is protect the 2003 and 2004 year class fish. These are our 10 to 11 year old fish, well, 10 to 12 year old fish. And they are our most active spawners. And basically they're trying to protect them. We're trying to get a larger spawning stock. up into the tidal rivers to to spawn.
Got it.
And I wish it, to tell you the truth, I wish it was as simple as that.
Yeah.
There's several factors that are involved, but I will say this. There's hope on the horizon because right now we have a perfect model for a strong year class of striped bass spawning.
Good.
We've had all, you know, we've had to bear through all this snow and rain.
Yep.
During January and February, and what that does is it washes nutrients into the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we've started a plankton bloom in March, and then that'll be followed up by a zooplankton bloom, which in April, that's the food for these little baby striped bass.
Ah, that makes
we
sense.
We can have lots of little baby striped bass, but they gotta have something to eat.
Good point. Good point.
And this is, you know, this is in their first 4 weeks of their life, and this is
sure.
a very critical stage. So it's looking very promising.
Good. I'm glad
very
to hear
promising.
That. Hey, let me change up on you here just for a second. Any word, any progress, any movement on the crab survey? Have they done anything on that yet?
Yes, they were working on that all winter.
Okay.
And,
I know it was difficult at times.
Yeah, they're basically putting it all together, and what they try to do is they try to release the information the same time Virginia does.
Right.
So one doesn't scoop the other. But I think it's looking a little
inside baseball
better than last year.
What's that?
I think it's looking a little better than last year.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. You know, we had a theory on the crabs that was floated to me in Crisfield by a commercial guy, a wholesale guy, and he basically said what he thought and what watermen were telling him what they thought. And, of course, this is all opinions, and we know what they say about opinions. But when we had, was it Sandy came through in the fall at the fall migration, that one late fall, that the flood of water into the bay basically flushed the bay of the migrating crabs during the spawning run down south. I don't know
right.
if that's true or not, but, you know, it certainly didn't help us.
Well, there's another theory, too, and it has hold some water, is that, you know, if we get some kind of a hurricane, like in September.
Yeah.
You've got all those little tiny crabs that have spawned out in August.
Right.
And what it does is it, with those northeast winds, it pushes them up the bay.
Okay.
And, you know, all the little larvae, they're real tiny.
Yeah,
I mean, some
sure.
of, you know, they're a quarter of an inch in size.
Right.
And, you know, they have a tough time swimming. And so if they get a northeast that blows water up the bay, there's some good theories about that actually will push a lot of juvenile crabs up the bay.
Good point. Good point.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to fool with crabs, and I always remember there was an older waterman who told me, being 14 years old, I started developing my own theories, thought I knew things. And
for sure.
He told me, he said, yeah, well, you know, just crabs. He says, as soon as you think you know what they're doing, they'll make a fool out of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I feel a little bit of... And, you know, a little bit of your pain because, as one fisheries biologist told me one time, it's like trying to manage bugs crawling on the bottom of the bay. And you can't see them. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know where they are. You can't, you know, it's just a bunch of bugs crawling around. I thought that was pretty accurate, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right, let's take our final break here, and then we'll come back and with your closing thoughts, Keith, okay?
Okay. Great.
All right. That sounds good. We're going to talk about a couple of our sponsors, Chesapeake Outdoors being one of them. They're ready for rockfish season with the Spankin' Stripers lures. They're almost exclusively there. And great trolling baits, bucktails and parachutes and things like that. They've got some custom colors in another guy that makes them for them down there. And they've got the big mojos. I mean, if you're into trolling, you want to stop at Chesapeake Outdoors, that's for sure. And they got all the rods and reels and tackle. And even for the perch runs, they've got the, you know, the live bait and the tackle for that as well. So check that out. Now, since they're both, you know, hunting and fishing. We've got spring gobblers coming up here in a couple of weeks. So they've got the Zinc Avian X decoys. They've got all the shotguns and ammos if you're looking to replace your shotgun for the upcoming spring gobbler season, the calls and decoys and camo, you name it. They just brought in the new line of Hoyt bows to accompany their Matthews and their Mission bow line, the Barnett and Excalibur crossbows, Parker. They've got all that. So why not stop by the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers? That would be Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island, Maryland, 410-604-2500. Their courteous and friendly staff will help you find anything you need, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. And one more time, it's time to tell you about Clyde's Sport Shop. It's their Ready to Rock sale. Yep, started yesterday, goes through Sunday, April 5th, on sale, all rockfish, trolling baits, and lures. You can save on premium monofilament line for half price. Just take your empty spools, just strip all that old junky line off of there, take your empty spools in, Clyde's will spool up your line for half price, starting at just 1 cent per yard. The Penreel Specials, the GTI 330 for $89.95. They got trolling combos for $89.95, same price, with a Penreel and a Shakespeare rod, and then their most popular trolling combo is a Pen 330, Andy rod, 6 foot, 20 to 50 pound test rod and line for just $139.95. What a deal. All Shakespeare rods and reels, all Fluger rods and reels are on sale. All ugly sticks are on sale. Check everything out. Fishing license, rod and reel repairs, live bait, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 410-242-6108, 242-6108. And don't forget that 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-FISH. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie, 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It's a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fishery Service for every recreational angler in Maryland. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the clear fresh water of Deep Creek Lake, including more than 65 species in five categories. That'd be freshwater, Chesapeake Bay tidal, Atlantic coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. The youth division is connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. Now, if you catch a fish of a notable specified size, you'll receive your official angler award certificate, and along with that, you'll get an invitation to the event, the grand finale, in September, where you could win a Grand Tracker Marine, a Tracker Marine boat package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop and Bill's Outdoor Center, and much, much more. Trout season's here. Perch runs on. Rockfish season just around the corner. From the headboats on the Atlantic to the headwaters of the Clear Mountain streams, it's time. It's fishing time. Go fish. The official rules are online at dnr2.maryland.gov/fisheries, Maryland Fishing Challenge. Okay.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Keith, got a question for you. Hello, Keith.
Yes.
Got a question for you. Email question. What about the mortality rate of releasing 36 to 40-inch rockfish after dragging the line?
Well, it's the
debatable. I would say with the cold water, they'll probably be okay.
Okay.
You know, the temperature of the water is definitely the most important factor. And also in the area where they're going to be caught, the salinity is fairly well. So typically what those fish are going to do is they're going to go down in the cold water and just hunker down for a little bit, get their, you know, get their senses back together, and they should be fine.
Okay.
We've all seen striped bass being, you know, pulled behind a boat with their mouth open. That does happen. And
that's never a good time.
Guys have got so many lines out. You know, you keep the boat in motion.
Right. Two knots or whatever they troll, a couple knots, and the boat's moving. The fish are being dragged, mouth open. Water's not exactly, you know, flowing over the gills the way it should. But you know,
most guys, if you can, it's not, you know, especially when you're fishing on a boat with a lot of rods. If you can get that fish up on the surface and get that rod tip up high, you know, and we call it surfing them. You know, get them up where they're on top of the water and just keep them, like, keep their head above the water, and you can skim them in pretty quick. Obviously, if they turn their head and go down, you know, you've got a tussle on your hands.
Yep.
But it's unfortunate, something we have to deal with.
I mean, like you said earlier, it's not just you guys. It's the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries
Correct, yes.
Commission.
All the states come under the umbrella of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Council. And, again, it's to, you know, try to give our most, you know, our best spawners, I guess I should say, a chance to develop us a strong year class.
Got it.
And, you know, I would tell our fishermen, you know, the older fish, the ones that are over 40 inches, are our first spawners. And we're within about 8 degrees of having suitable water for spawning. So I think that they're going to have a good opening day.
I think so.
If I was out there looking for a 40-inch striped bass or better, I think I'd be putting myself at the mouth of the, the Falk Channel on the Choptank River and Cedar Point, to Point Lookout, to cover the Patuxent River.
Yep.
The Choptank, the Nanticoke, the Patuxent, and the Potomac are our first rivers to go off as far as the spawn goes.
Exactly, yep.
The Upper Bay is the last because the water's so cold.
Right.
Those 40-inch plus fish are going to be the first ones to spawn, and the spawn's definitely going to be late.
All right.
Watch the fishing report.
Yep.
I've got a...